Good morning, and welcome to the services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful second Sunday of Easter. We're glad that you're joining in with us. We are once again coming to you from the empty sanctuary of Grace United Methodist Church as we attempt to abide by the bishop's recommendation to have no in-person worship. But we know that we have a large following on the internet, and we invite you to participate in the service as you see fit. Our bulletin is available on our webpage, and you can follow along with our service as we display the words to the songs, the scripture, and the responsive readings. We have a number of things still going on at the church this week. We will be having our United Methodist men's meeting tomorrow by Zoom. You should have gotten an email from Marla McPhail on that. And our yoga classes also continue on Mondays and Tuesday evenings, also conducted via the Zoom software offering. If you have any questions about that, you can always email the church office and we'll get the information out to you. Again, we invite you to participate as you see fit. Our services will be streamed today at 8:30 and again at 11 o'clock, and we invite you to worship along with us. And now, we invite you to prepare your hearts, your minds, and your spirits for worship.
Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us pray. Creator of the universe, you made the world in beauty and restored all things in glory through the victory of Jesus Christ. We pray that wherever your image is still disfigured by poverty, sickness, selfishness, war, and greed, the new creation in Jesus Christ may appear in justice, love, and peace. To the glory of your name, amen.
Please join with me as we sing the hymn, Thine Be the Glory.
Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave. Lo, Jesus meets thee, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets thee, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For our Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Endless is the victory
This time, I want to say good morning to the children who are worshiping with us this morning. We praise God for you, for your families, for the ways that you get to be at home and worship. Hope that you've been able to enjoy your Sunday morning so far. And as we talk together a little bit, I just wanted to mention to you all that Easter is not just a day, and this is good news, really. Easter is a season. We heard just a minute ago, this is the second Sunday of Easter. We celebrate Easter in the church all the way from Easter Sunday, last Sunday, through to Pentecost, which this year is at the end of May. And so we're going to celebrate Easter for a long time this year, and we always celebrate Easter for a long time. Every Sunday from Easter Sunday to Pentecost, we celebrate as a Sunday of Easter, a Sunday when we specifically talk about and think about and praise God for the resurrection. And we do that throughout the year, but during this season, this is our time when we can really remember that Jesus came and died for us and was raised for us. And this Sunday in particular, we're going to be looking at a passage where Jesus comes on the night of Easter. So on Easter night, and then the next Sunday, he comes and he finds the disciples all gathered, locked in a room, stuck inside, so to speak, and they're afraid and they don't know what comes next. And Jesus finds them there and he comes in into the locked room, into the shut room anyway. And what he does when he gets in, the first thing he says is he says, "Peace be with you." And he tells them to have peace. And so that's something that is important to our Easter celebrations, to our continued Easter celebration, is that Jesus steps into the places where we might be afraid, where things are strange, where we're all shut inside right now, where Jesus comes into our life and he tells us, have peace. You can have peace in me. You cannot be afraid. You can be still. You can be quiet. You can know that I am with you and you can have my peace. And so we praise God for Jesus' peace that Jesus shares with us, that he gives to us this day and every day, and we're going to remember that throughout our Easter season. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for Jesus, that he gives us his peace, and that we can know you are with us because of him. Amen. This morning, as we turn our hearts to go to God in prayer, as we begin to lift our prayer concerns, I just want to remind you that if you have a prayer concern you'd like to share with the church, if you have something that's on your heart, that's on your mind, and you want to share it, you can email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org, and we will include those in our pastoral prayers, as well as share them with the church as is appropriate during the week, if that's your desire. So if you have a prayer concern, again, you can share that by emailing me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. Sisters and brothers in Christ, God invites us to bring our doubts and fears, our joys and concerns, our petitions and praise, and offer them for the earth and all its creatures. And so this day we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially for Miss Ernestine, Miss Violet, Mr. Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, and for all who are highly vulnerable to disease and infection at this time, for those who have to pay particular attention and have to stay home more so than even the rest of us, we lift these in prayer this day. For all those who are suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous, this week we pray for all those who were impacted by the tornadoes and storms last week, for the family and friends of Kathy Murphy in Seneca, who are recovering from the tornadoes that struck there, for Doris and her husband, Jerry, and their family. These are Maxine Drake's first cousins. Miss Doris was Maxine's first cousin, and they were the couple killed in the tornado in Orangeburg County. For Sonny, Maxine's cousin, who passed away from cancer last week. For Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew. For Janice Seeley, who's dealing with health concerns at this time. For Vivian, Betty Arant's great-granddaughter. For Barbara, a friend of Donna Houston. For Lee, Donna's brother-in-law. For Alice Truluck's friend, who's caring for parents suffering from Alzheimer's. For Christy, a friend of Betsy Smoke. for Randy, a co-worker of Larry Lott, for Paul and his family in the death of his daughter. Paul is a teacher at Chapin High School. For Linda and Bill as Linda recovers from surgery. For a co-worker of Christine Shelton who lost her husband this week. For Robin, a friend and co-worker of Kathy Jennings who lost her father this week. For Kathy and her co-workers in the NICU. For all healthcare workers. For our veterans and VA staff. And for all the members of Grace and their families. Receive these prayers, O God, and transform us through them that we may have eyes to see and hearts to understand not only what you do on our behalf, but what you call us to do, so that your realm will come to fruition in glory. And as Christ taught us, so now we continue to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Please join with me in singing our hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart until with thee I will, one will, to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I never die, but live with thee the perfect life of thine
. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And this morning I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear these words of God. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
It's an interesting piece of scripture, this passage that comes to us for our second Sunday in Easter. We hear that twice Jesus shows up where the disciples are. Two times Jesus comes to the disciples. After he's appeared in the garden to Mary, we hear on that same night, he then comes and finds the disciples locked in a room together. Everybody but Thomas is there. And so he finds them there locked, and then the second of Jesus' appearing to the disciples we hear then happens on today, the next Sunday, the next Lord's Day, the next week away, happens on today, where Jesus appears and finds the disciples again in the room. The first time we heard that the first time the doors were locked, and the next time they were still shut. The doors are locked and the disciples are in there, all but Thomas, and then on a week later, the doors are shut. And we can certainly identify a little bit with being shut up in the house right now, like the disciples, staying inside. We can even identify and recognize the signs of fear in ourselves and in the world. Just like the disciples found themselves shut in the upper room in fear, waiting to see what happened next, not just on Easter night, but also a week later still. But interestingly, both times, Jesus comes in anyway. When the doors are locked and when the doors are shut, a week apart, Jesus comes in anyway. He comes in and he stands in their midst and he proclaims peace. He says, peace be with you. And then he sends them. He says, I send you just as the Father has sent me. He sends them into the world and he offers them judgment. Not in the way we normally think about it, where we think of judging someone as being judgy, right? Judgy has become the word, one of those words out there now. It's not a good thing to be judgy, but Jesus offers the disciples judgment. He says, whichever of the sins of another you forgive are forgiven, and whichever sins you retain are retained. And we hear this throughout the Gospels as something that Jesus gives to the disciples to forgive sins, to retain sins, and to judge between the situations and the differences when those two options need to be applied. So Jesus offers the disciples judgment, not necessarily judgment of what they're doing, but the power, the ability to judge, and he breathes on them. He breathes on them. You'll remember from a few weeks back, I hope, that the word for breath is the same as spirit. He breathes on them. He sends his spirit on them in this moment. And it's that spirit that offers them peace. It's that spirit that sends them into the world. It's that spirit, that breath, that gives them this power to judge, to retain or forgive sins of one another in the way. Jesus both times comes and stands in their midst. Says, peace be with you. And we get hung up a lot of times on this idea that Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas then says, I'm not going to believe until I see the hands, the wounds in his hands and his side until I can see them and touch them and know for sure. And we sometimes look at Thomas and we go, well, why couldn't he have just believed? And one of the things that gets lost in there is that all of the other disciples had already had that experience. Jesus came in and we heard he showed them. He showed them. That's one of the first things he does. When he's proclaiming peace, he shows them the wounds in his hands and in his side. He shows them these wounds as proof that he is there bodily raised from the dead, that it's still him. He hasn't been changed into some disembodied spirit. He's still there bodily raised from the dead, transformed somehow, some way in this first fruits of the resurrection. He's still there in the body. And all the disciples minus Thomas have seen that the first time, and then Thomas gets to see it the next. And we focus on Thomas's doubts sometimes, but I think there's more going on here than just Thomas couldn't believe without seeing. I think there's more going on here than just Thomas couldn't take their word for it, because it occurs to me that so often, even after receiving the Holy Spirit, even after having Jesus breathe on us, even after having an experience with the living Christ, where he proclaims peace and sends us out, where he tells us that we have this power within us to forgive sins or retain sins, where we, as the body of Christ, have this authority given to us, even after all of this, sometimes we still want to put limits on the relationship with Jesus. Even after all that, so often, we want to define where Jesus can and can't go, where we will and won't go. Jesus sends us, Jesus sent those disciples on Easter night, and yet still the next week we find them in the same room in fear. And we may unlock the door, but we don't want to leave it open. It's still shut. If we leave it open, we might actually have to go out of it. We might actually have to go and do what Christ has instructed us to do, what Christ has commanded us to do, to make disciples, to know him and make him known to others. We might actually have to get out there and forgive and retain sins. We might actually have to get out there and proclaim peace. So often, even after having this experience of seeing the risen Christ, of talking with the risen Christ, of knowing the risen Christ, we still want to be in control of where this discipleship thing will take us. We don't want to have to live the peace that Jesus gives us, or go where he sends us, or claim our responsibility for offering forgiveness and judgment in the world. And so we stay with the doors closed, like the first disciples. And so I wonder this morning with you, if Thomas doesn't doubt Jesus as much as he doubts the disciples' testimony, the others, the 10, or however many were up there in that room locked when Jesus came in. Maybe Thomas doesn't doubt Jesus as much as he doubts the other disciples' testimony. And maybe this is because they're still shut up, worried, and anxious in the house. It's a week later. They've told Thomas, Jesus came and he stood in our midst. He showed us his hands and his side. He said, peace be with you. And he sent us out. He said, as the Father sends me, so I am sending you. And I give you this power of the sins that you forgive are forgiven, and the ones you retain are retained. They've told Thomas all of this, and yet here they sit, still shut up in the room with the door closed to keep themselves in and keep the world out. Maybe, just maybe, Thomas isn't doubting that Jesus is raised because he is inclined to doubt. Maybe he's doubting it because the testimony of those other 10 disciples doesn't match their actions. Their testimony says Jesus came and stood in our midst and sent us somewhere, and we're still here. So why would Thomas believe them? Why would Thomas possibly believe them? You see, when our actions don't match our testimony, people don't believe. Brothers and sisters don't believe. The world doesn't believe. When our actions don't match our testimony, when what we do doesn't match what we say we're about, people don't believe. And this is one of the major risks of being a disciple of Jesus. This is one of the things about being a disciple that makes me uncomfortable, makes me worry. If our testimony is off, people won't believe Jesus. Like Thomas, doubting. If we tell them one thing and do another, it's not just that they won't believe us. They won't believe Jesus. This can go a lot of ways. Sometimes we become overly concerned with being perceived as nice. You know, we're good, nice Christians. And so we end up having this testimony that doesn't truly reflect our discipleship. Because the other side of that is when we become overly concerned with the rules, right? We either want to be so nice that anything and everything goes, or we become so concerned with the rules that nothing goes and everybody's just condemned out of hand. We tend to vacillate between those two options in our discipleship and in the church. We're either so nice that everything goes, or so focused on who's in and who's out that nobody can possibly get in. But in both cases, accountability for being peace-filled, sent, and discerning disciples goes out of the window. In both of those options, and in a whole host of others, what ends up going out the window is this accountability for what Jesus has actually asked us to be people who proclaim peace. That is, people who go into the midst of fear-filled, anxious situations and say, God is with us. And also to be sent, to actually go. We have to go. We can proclaim peace all we want from behind closed doors, but nobody's going to hear us and nobody's going to believe us. Oh yeah, they're telling us to have peace, but look at them, they're safe back there. We have to be peace-filled and sent, and then discerning, that is to say, if we go in and we never forgive the sins of any, or we always forgive the sins of everyone, we haven't really lived up to that whole piece that Jesus says about this judgment is yours. To discern between. We just end up being one way or the other, and our testimony suffers. We say that being a disciple is about discipline, but we don't ever hold anybody to have any discipline. Or we say that the gospel is about grace, but we never give it to anyone. There's a balance in the middle. There's a way our testimony matches our actions without going to the extremes. This is one of the risks of being a disciple. We are the people who find the third way of Christ, the ones that look for the ways that we offer grace and hold people accountable in discipleship. Disciple means those who have discipline. Those who submit themselves to the discipline of the teacher. This is one of our risks. This is what we're called to do. This is what Jesus enters into the locked rooms of our life, the locked rooms of our hearts, the locked rooms of our churches, the locked rooms of the places that we try to shut ourselves off from the world, the places where we try to keep ourselves in, where only we hope Jesus will stay with us and we don't have to worry about going out. This is what it means to be a disciple, to be peace-filled, sent, and discerning, to have a testimony that matches our actions. And the way that we achieve that, the way that we do that, is to model our life after the life and witness of our teacher, after Jesus. Because one of the pieces of this is that the wounds of crucifixion don't go away in the resurrection. I don't want us to lose that. Thomas doesn't doubt Jesus as much as he doubts the disciples. And Thomas says, I need to see the wounds for myself. I need to see them for myself because I'm not seeing them in you, to the other 10, he says. I need to see him for myself because you're still shut up in this room because your testimony doesn't match what you've actually done since you say you saw Jesus. And so we have to remember that the wounds of crucifixion don't go away in resurrection. Jesus is raised, and the first thing he shows to his disciples are his hands and his side, to prove it's him, to prove he's there. These wounds are transformed into marks which prove the identity of Christ. They prove who he is. Jesus shows them to all the disciples to prove that he's there, to prove he is bodily there, to prove that he has been raised from the dead. And so for us, we may not see Christ. We're in that category of those that Jesus tells to Thomas, blessed are those who believe who haven't seen. We may not see Christ in the body the way that they did, but the resurrection wounds remain as proof of Christ's bodily resurrection. Follow with me for a minute here. We may not see Jesus raised right standing in front of us. We may not have that privilege the same way that the earliest disciples did, but the wounds of the resurrection remain as proof of Christ's body. That is, our willingness as resurrection people, as the body of Christ, to share our struggles, to share our doubts, to be honest about our story of faith, shows others what it means to have the abundant resurrected life of Christ. Our willingness to open the doors, not just unlock them, but open them and go out when Jesus sends us out to proclaim peace, even when we don't necessarily feel like that's a safe thing to do, maybe especially when we don't feel like it's a safe thing to do, to proclaim peace in the midst of chaos, to proclaim peace in the midst of crisis, to proclaim peace in the midst of pain and hurt and suffering, to proclaim peace as Christ steps in and proclaims peace to us as the Father sent him to us, so he sends us to the world to proclaim peace and to discern and judge, to offer forgiveness and discipline to the world and to one another, to bring people into discipleship, into following in Christ's way. And the way that we do that is when we go out into the world, we go out bearing our wounds. We don't hide them. We don't cover them up. We don't try to say, look, I'm a nice, perfect Christian. We go out and we say, I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm flawed, and I'm messed up. I've sinned, and I've known forgiveness and resurrection in Jesus Christ. We become the wounds of resurrection. We go out and show the world what transformation looks like, how those wounds become transformed, how those wounds become a part of our story of grace and power and salvation. We go out and tell our story in connection with Christ's story. We unlock the doors, we open them wide, and we proclaim real peace. Peace that doesn't hide from the hurt. Peace that doesn't hide from the mistakes. Peace that doesn't hide from sin. We, as the resurrection people, the body of Christ, share our struggles and doubts. We show the world the wounds of resurrection, and it shows that our wounds have been transformed by the resurrection. If we try to hide them, if we try to cover them up, if we try to shut the doors and make sure nobody can see, it only causes people not to believe our testimony, to doubt that Jesus is who Jesus says he is. Because we go out and we proclaim peace and we proclaim forgiveness, but then we never tell people that we needed it. We never show them how Jesus actually transformed our hurt and our pain and our suffering. So if we try to hide it, it only causes people not to believe. It makes them think, well, you've said all this, but here you are still shut up in the room. We are called to be the resurrection people of God, to be disciples of Jesus Christ, to be the body of Christ, the wounded, resurrected body of Christ in the world. So that people will see and know and believe the good news that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Almighty God, you have stepped into our fear. You've stepped into our chaos. You've stepped into our crises. You've stepped into our suffering. You've stepped into our sin. You've come in even when the doors were locked, even when the doors were shut. You've come in and you've proclaimed peace to us. You've sent us into the world to proclaim that peace and to offer forgiveness and accountability. Reveal your Holy Spirit to each one of us this day that we would find the courage to step through the doors, these doors that we create to try and keep ourselves hidden and keep the world out, to make sure that we can present only the best parts, only the nicest parts, only the perfect parts of our story. Give us the courage to step outside those doors. To step out and bear witness to the resurrection, to the transformation of our woundedness by your grace, to show others the resurrected body of Christ, so that they might believe, so that they might know, so that they might come to join us in discipleship and fellowship. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who was raised for our sake. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
This morning, as you prepare to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to you, I want to encourage you and remind you just once again that we do have online giving available through our church website, gracecolumbia.org. You can head to the website. There's a giving link on the right-hand side of the page, as well as one on the left-hand side of the page, actually. So on the right-hand side, it's in the top navigation bar, and on the left-hand side, it's in the navigation pane on the side, so you can get to the online giving either place. It'll take you to the giving page, and from that page you can set up a one-time gift or a recurring gift. You can give to the general fund or some other funds that are set up there if you'd like to give in a particular way, and so I encourage you to navigate over to that. If you're on a mobile device and navigating to the online giving, once you get to the website, you'll need to scroll to the bottom of the webpage, and you'll find the online giving link there, and so you can navigate that way. We also do continue to receive mail here at the church. We're coming by to pick it up, and so if you want to mail your offering to the church, we encourage you to do so. You can also drop it by, and you can drop it into the mailbox yourself if you'd rather do that than send it through the postal service. But send it through the postal service. They need the business right now, and so go ahead and put a stamp on it and mail it in. We encourage you to give through all of those ways. And this day, as you continue to prepare your giving, to decide how you're going to give and to get that ready, I just want to celebrate. This past week we had several different opportunities with some of the leadership of the church to test out some of the Zoom meeting capabilities, and I just praise God for our leaders here at Grace, for those who are helping to guide some discussions around how we can take advantage of things like the Small Business Administration, PPP loans, and their flexibility and willingness to try new communication methods, to step into Zoom meetings together, to try and come up with the best strategy. And also just want to praise God this day and offer thanksgiving for Bill Walker, who is our church administrator here, for all the hard work he put in on that, all the hard work he's been doing from home over these weeks to make sure we continue to move the church ahead in business and its normal business functions, even in this time. And so we praise God for these leaders and for Bill this day, and the hard work they're doing on all of our behalves, and for hopefully an end in sight where we can all meet together again. So we offer celebrations and praise and prayers that way this day. Would you go to God in prayer with me? Gracious God of light and hope, we bring our offering to your altar this morning, still riding the joy of our Easter celebration of your triumph over the grave. Scripture has reminded us that we have been given the pathway for new birth, the promise of an imperishable heavenly inheritance, and the power of God's protection. Silent in the realization of these priceless gifts, we offer ourselves to make this good news known to those who have not yet heard the good news. With praise and thanksgiving, we dedicate our gifts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Hallelujah. Of all our gifts, praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please join with me in singing the hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.
Jesus, the very thought of Thee, with sweetness fills the breast. but sweeter far thy face to see, and in my presence rest. O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. But what to those who find of this, nor tongue nor pen can show, the love of Jesus what it is, none but the loved ones know. Jesus, our only joy, be thou, as thou our prize wilt be. Jesus, be thou our glory now, and through eternity.
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. We are sent forth in the power of Christ's resurrection. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God and the forgiveness of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Okay, we're clear.